Hey there, Mike.
Hello, Patrick.
We are back again with
very hyped, the mass punchy. You'd think we were on coffee.
Yeah, no kidding. We got the masters of coffee disasters here. actually, not disasters, because these are very refined individuals who take great care with the coffee they brew.
That doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
No, it really doesn't. So, Mike, who do we got?
We have Mr. Brett Kelly again.
Woo! Boom.
Mr. Chris Bowler.
Howdy.
And Mr. Sean Blanc.
Aloha.
That was very good. I enjoyed that. That was like hellos from around the world.
It was.
Where was my hello from exactly in the world?
We're not really sure.
Places unspoken of. So on this episode, last week's episode, actually, we discussed everyone's coffee history and the types of coffee that they drink. And on this episode, we're going to discuss the process they do and the equipment that they use into how they make their favorite drink. Now, Brett, Sean on the last episode, he's been holding on for about 4 or 5 days now to find out the answer to the question of how you roast. So why don't you kick us off with sort of how you, because you actually roast at home, don't you?
I do.
So why don't you kick us off telling us about the process from roasting to when it is in the cup?
From soup to nuts,
soup to nuts, yeah.
All right. We talked about where I got the beans a week ago on the last show.
Mm-hmm.
But the equipment I used to roast, up until somewhat recently, I had what was known as a Hearthware iRoast 2, which is a little machine. It was kind of like one of those little goofy food processors you can buy for like $30, like just a real small guy. And it's an air roaster, so it just blows hot air through this little chamber and the beans spin around, and over the course of like 8 or 9 minutes, they roast. But we moved a few months back and that thing kind of got bounced around a little bit and suffered some damage. So about two months ago, I bought a Baymore 1600, which was a bit of an upgrade, but that is a drum roaster. So it's got a big mesh like cylinder inside that rotates over like a heating element. And it's not, doesn't roast by hot air, just like a convection style roaster. I think they're called confection, not convection.
The sugared roaster.
That was third. And it takes a bit longer, but it also roasts a lot of coffee than the other one did. But after that, I roast the coffee, and it takes about a half an hour, including has its own built-in like cooling cycle, so it cools everything down. After that, I take the coffee inside, and I put it into a little airtight container where I stare at it for about half an hour, and then I go to bed. The next morning, open it up, and it makes the most fantastic hissing sound when all the like gases and stuff that have been dorking around in the jar all night like fly out, and it smells fantastic. Anyway, so then I put exactly 2 heaping scoops of the delicious coffee beans into my Solus Maestro Plus burr grinder,
mm-hmm.
which, slight sidebar, burr grinders are sort of necessary if you're going to be like serious about the coffee, because, well, for a whole host of reasons, which we can get into later, I guess. And once it's ground, I put it into my Technivorm Mocha Master, some model number that I can't remember. And it's like a regular drip coffee maker. But it's powered by, it runs off of the temperature of the water. So there's a heating element inside of it that when you pour the water in and turn it on, like it just heats the water up to the boiling point, or just below it, I think. And then the temperature of the water forces it up through this tube and then over the top onto the grounds and then into the pot. So it looks like the kind of thing you'd see in a movie, like the depicting like 1950s NASA, you know, like a big ugly thing.
Lots of tubes and metal like switches.
Right. Well, no, not at all, but something like that. Anyway, maybe that was the wrong description. And then I pour it into a mug that's usually already got a little bit of hot water in it that I dump out so the coffee doesn't get cold too fast.
Wow.
And then I drink it. Yeah, it's pretty. You want to hear a little brewer trick since we're on it? So when you put your grounds in your coffee maker, your coffee pot, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry, the maker, you know, the brew basket at the top, put a tiny bit of water, like drizzle a little bit of water over the top of the grounds before you start brewing. because that will keep, if the beans are really recently roasted, they'll be pretty likely to, little bits will fly off, like just from static electricity. And so you pour a little bit of water there to keep everything together. That's called flouring. So, and then you just start the brew and it works fine. But I mean like a teaspoon of water.
Nice tip.
That is an intense process.
Yeah. I pee it out later.
Yeah. It goes for all of the same inside.
Right. Yeah. Just a lot more of a process to the, yeah.
But I was just waiting for that to come.
I do take it to that level, don't I?
Well, what happens from when you drink it to... No, that's fine. Mr. Bowler, what about you, sir? What equipment do you use? What do you love? What makes coffee good for you?
Well, I'm sadly not going to be able to follow up in Brett's footsteps. That's a little more involved than I currently am. I'm actually currently between coffee setups.
Okay. Sadly. So why don't you tell us about what you were using and what you're going to be?
Well, I mean, I made the progression from drip to French press. I tried percolator at the same time, which I think is fine for camping, but not so fine for everyday use. So eventually on Father's Day, not this past one, but the one before, my wife got me my first espresso machine, which was fantastic. So that has been my main machine. So I kind of stopped drinking pots of coffee and basically just 90% of the time drank Americanos, just would brew a double shot several times a day and just pour some extra water in there. And that was my mainstay. And sadly, that thing just recently died. And I tried to go through the steps of repairing it myself and sadly just made it worse. So I'm...
I imagine it was just coffee spraying out the sides and...
Well, no, actually nothing would come at all until I was scared that the entire thing would blow up from the pressure. So yeah, sad to see that thing go. It wasn't like a real high-end machine, but it was consistent and made a great cup of coffee every time. So... So I'm currently using my French press, or even on some days, I'm ashamed to admit it, just a regular drip coffee maker. But I have just recently, from a great site called Toys and Tools, or Tools and Toys, I can never remember which way, but I bought an AeroPress, so I'm just waiting to try that out.
Some dude does that site.
Yeah, some dude.
Just some guy.
So I'm looking forward to that. I tend to... buy my beans. I do have the popcorn maker, so I want to try the whole trick of finding green beans and roasting them myself. I haven't made that step yet, and I don't have a proper burr grinder. So when I do buy my beans, I tend to buy them from a cafe where they can do the grinding for me. Because like Brett said, if you don't have a proper grinder, you're just not going to get a good cup of coffee. So that is my general setup right now, and I'm really looking forward to the AeroPress and trying that out.
If you are in the market for a grinder and like if you want to keep expenditures down, you can get a really good quality hand grinder. They sell those. My buddy has one and they work really well. And they're like, I think they're like $50 or $60 US. Yeah, and they work just Amazon? As well as like the, maybe. Sweet Maria sells them. I know that. Let me look up it's like some weird, super long German name. It starts with a Z.
I definitely am into the hand grinding process, so I'll check that out.
Manual grinder.
There's actually like a nice ceramic hand grinder that's featured on that Tools and Toys website you guys are talking about.
Oh, by that some guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so the one I got my buddy is the Hario Skirton hand crank coffee mill, and it's $40 and it works really well.
Nice.
So yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes.
Appreciated.
Why don't we hand it over to the fantastic proprietor of that Tools and Toys website, Mr. Sean Blanc? What sort of equipment do you use?
Ah, jeez. I have like a drip coffee maker. I have one of those stovetop Turkish coffee makers. Yeah, I think so.
Do you like that thing? I've never used one of those.
I've never been able to get a good cup of coffee out of it. It's always...
Really? Well, they're pretty gnarly because you just put like super finely ground coffee in there and just drink it. You don't ever like the grounds don't come out. It just you drink them, as I recall. Is that right?
No, it pushes it through. You've got the two part thing, the steel. It's what
you're talking about a Boca pot.
Yeah.
Okay. So. E-brick is like a little, just like a little tall, like saucepan looking thing.
Oh, where water. You do the, where you flash boil it?
The Turkish thing. Yeah. That one.
Yeah. Okay. I've had that and that's well really good.
Be speaking another language at this point, I think. There's a lot of terms that went straight over my head then, but it all sounds very interesting.
Well, we're talking about it. Let's go through and figure out what's you know, what confused you, Michael.
the equipment names and the flash boiling and there's lots of things I didn't get there.
Okay, well let's let Sean finish his description and then we can nerd out on that stuff for a bit. Yeah, what do you think? Please.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So. So I used to be in the French press. I would do French press every day. And then I got a siphon pot, which is really, really good, but really, really involved. And so then I actually, through Brett's recommendation and through Marco, I ended up getting a AeroPress, which is my new favorite way. So I buy my beans at Costco, like we discussed on a previous show. And then keep them in an airtight container. Then I grind them up. I've got a Breville burr grinder. It's a conical burr grinder. And then I brew them in the AeroPress. I just usually have just one cup a day. And that's it's great.
Yeah, that's the thing with me, right, is I have an AeroPress. I have all of this equipment. I just never use it.
The AeroPress is actually – I think the AeroPress is easier than – it's maybe not easier, but pretty close to being as easy as the drip coffee maker. But it's also – the cleanup of an AeroPress is really what I love. Like it makes really good coffee. Yeah. But it's also – the cleanup is a cinch. And since I make coffee every single day, having a thing that basically like you I always say plunge, but that's got to be the worst description you could use. Yeah. To describe making coffee, I plunge the coffee. But whatever it is, you know, you press it with the AeroPress, and then when you're done, you just kind of move it over to and above the garbage can. You unscrew the little plastic cap, and you just pop the rest right into the garbage, and then you rinse it, and you're done. Yeah. As opposed to a drip coffee maker, you've got to wash out the pot. You've got to it's, you know, it's just et cetera. I like the AeroPress.
Are we pretty much in agreement as a group that for a single cup of coffee, the AeroPress is probably the best way to go?
I got to try it first.
Chris, what did you say? For sure.
I just said I want to, you know, I have to try it first. I haven't had one. I do like the shot of espresso with some water. I had a hard time beating that myself. So,
well, and that's sort of what the AeroPress does.
Right.
Yeah, it's the AeroPress sort of makes coffee that way.
Mm-hmm. It's a hand espresso maker, basically.
Exactly, and that's what I'm looking forward to. So glad to hear it. Seems like
what's interesting is I will use the AeroPress when we are away. So when we went camping, or not camping, I'm sorry. When we go up to our family cabin, we bring the AeroPress. When we went on our big long road trip this summer, we brought the AeroPress because, you know, we weren't sure kind of what we were going to get in the hotels. About the only place we didn't use it was when we were in the greater Boston metro area because, my wife is a big fan of Dunkin' Donuts.
Isn't a fan of Dunkin' Donuts?
Well, I mean, it's our you know, almost a ritual. Like every single morning, we went and got some Dunkin' Donuts and got a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and that was our morning ritual. Nice. But in all other circumstances, we use the AeroPress, and that's the thing. I love the coffee that gets made in the AeroPress. There is a bit of finesse to it it really helps to read the AeroPress manual, so you don't make mistakes like I made early on, like using an espresso grind. Because in your mind,
no, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at that situation.
Well, right. Because in your mind, you're thinking, oh, well, this is a kind of a, you know, this is an espresso maker. You're just kind of making it manually. And
that's
so,
what I thought. Sure.
You're right. Exactly. And so you think, well, okay, well, I'm going to go get some espresso beans and get them espresso ground. That's a big mistake.
Why is that? See, I have no idea. Why is that a big mistake?
The AeroPress grind has to be drip. It's drip coarseness.
Right. It has to be a drip coarseness because it really does work off of pressure. And if and with an espresso grind is much finer. It's a much finer grind. And so when you put it in there and you mix it up with the water, that water gets a lot more dense, almost soupy, and it becomes very, very difficult to push it through the filter at the bottom.
Then you can just have coffee for lunch.
Exactly. Which is not a bad idea. Well, you know what?
Not a bad idea.
I mean, actually, I do grind the beans espresso fine. Oh, I grind them really fine for the and what I do is I just stir it really, really well. I've got some bamboo stir sticks that I use.
Yeah.
Stir it up pretty well. And then, I mean, it definitely has a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But I brew it quickly.
Oh, okay.
I'm just imagining Sean positioning like a piece of plywood over the top of his AeroPress and like standing on it.
I don't think I have one of those Bodum double wall mugs, and I don't think they would handle it. I am sometimes afraid I might just
squeeze it too hard in your brute strength moment.
You know, like stepping on a tin can.
So. But when we're talking about grinders and stuff, I've heard mentioned burr grinders. Now, my understanding is it's a different process of the way that the actual grind comes out, so the way that the machine works.
Yes, sir.
Go on, Brett, because you said something first. Can you explain to me why a burr grinder is better and what the alternatives are and why they're not so good?
Well, typical burr grinders are, well, like Sean mentioned, are conical. So they have like... let's see, best way to explain it. Like, imagine like a cone shaped metal thing with a bunch of, you know, hard spots on it, and like a complementary piece that fits over the top of it that sort of creates a smaller or bigger space between the two. Mm-hmm. And you can you adjust that distance depending on what kind of grind you want. But effectively, you're crushing the beans between those two pieces of metal, which is giving you a consistent grind for, you know, your coffee. As opposed to a blade grinder, which is the, you know, the $20 guy that Patrick has that you just put it in, you know, put it in the top, push the button, and a big metal blade spins around and grinds it up. That produces more like,
it's because it more like chops it up.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you get really inconsistent shape and size.
Right.
So I assume that you, to make the best brew, you would want, I don't know if brew is the right word, you would want the coffee to be ground consistently.
Right, because if it's ground chunky or it's ground really fine, the coffee's going to extract differently while it's in the water. And if you've got all sorts of different variations of your beans ground up, you're going to have some that are extracting differently than the others within the same cup of coffee that you're trying to brew.
Exactly.
So does anybody have, like, so we've spoken about sort of what everybody's situations are at the moment. Does anyone have any equipment that is like in the, like, you know, like up in the sky from stuff that they would love to have, like dream equipment, but yet can't lay their hands on?
I'd like to have
buy one of those nice espresso machines. Sorry, John, go ahead.
I was going to say I'd rather have a nicer grinder.
Yeah, you can get a really nice grinder for not that much money, even like an electric one.
Yeah, I've got a pretty decent one, but it likes static electricity.
Which is
frustrating.
What's the issue there? Does the coffee stick to the walls or?
Oh, it jumps all over the place. It likes to jump out on the counter, jump out all over my arm.
Great. Sounds great. It's like an adventure every morning.
Yeah. Whoa there, guys.
It's just what you want when you wake up and the first thing you're doing is just catching coffee flying around the kitchen.
Well, I used to think it was because the coffee grounds were caffeinated, right?
Oh.
Mexican jumping beans.
Yeah, he's grinding the wrong beans.
Nice. I gotta say, for me, it's not the equipment, it's more the bean. You know, I want to find the roaster, the grower, that really fits in with, things that are important to me, like supporting local vendors as much as possible, or buying beans that are, you know, where the people on the other end are getting paid a fair wage, stuff like that. So for me, it's important to find that, and I'm really looking forward to Adam King's working on a project called Ethical Coffee Company. And I don't know all the details yet, but I know they're getting close to launch. I'm excited to see what comes of that. Yeah. So to me, it's more about the bean than the equipment, because I think you can get to a certain level of quality and you, without, like Brett said, spending a ton of money, and you can have that consistent good cup every day. So at that point, it's all about the bean.
Now, Brett, what multi-$1,000 piece of equipment would you is in your dreams?
The espresso machine that Patrick mentioned. I think we weren't recording it.
Yeah, we were. No, we weren't.
Okay, that was last week.
we weren't recording that last week. So why don't you tell us?
Okay, Patrick.
What is it? The Rancilio Silvia?
Yeah.
And yeah, on Amazon, that's it's about like, $700.
Yeah, that's like the entry level home espresso machine. Like the
for professional coffee dorks.
Yeah. Right. Well, the one, you obviously can get some $50 piece of crap at Target that will look and act like an espresso machine. But yeah, this is, I think, according to most of the coffee dork sites I've read, this is sort of the minimum allowed espresso machine, and you can buy bigger one, better ones from there.
Well, and a friend of mine actually has one of these. He's like my best friend. And so on a fairly regular basis, when I'm over at his place, he'll pull a shot from this machine, and it's just it's loud, and it sounds like it's going to attack at any moment. And but when all is said and done, you have a really fine cup of espresso. It's really good. But yeah, I mean, you can spend some serious money on this stuff.
Yeah,
I think that's the interesting part about like the boutique or gourmet coffee discussion is always comes back to like the price of the stuff that you need. And I've been thinking a lot about this recently. I got a buddy who wants to get into it and doesn't have a lot of cash and stuff. So, and you can put together a really respectable, high quality home coffee setup for like very little money, probably with under $50.
Well, I mean, you get yourself an AeroPress and a Canonical burr grinder on the cheap, and there you go, right?
Well, and especially with the coffee beans themselves, those are it really is so much less expensive to roast your own beans. And you obviously have to recoup the cost of the whatever roasting machine you get, and you can roast on your barbecue with a my brother uses like a popcorn popping like saucepans with a handle that has a crank on it that turns a little arm across the bottom. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. And so those are like $30 or $40, and you can do like 2 pounds of coffee at a time over his charcoal grill. So there are definitely like lo-fi ways of doing it that don't cost hundreds of bucks. But yeah, when you're getting coffee for $3-4 a pound, and even with the loss in yield, you're still coming out way ahead versus like a $12 pound of coffee at, you know, Starbucks or the grocery store.
Now,
and rant.
The quality. Brett, tell me about this. Right. Because you roast your beans at night before you brew them in the next morning. Right.
Sometimes I try to give it a day of rest between like roast at one, you know, say roast at Monday night, and then Wednesday morning I'll brew that, and hopefully I have some for Tuesday.
Okay, so you're not roasting every night, and then you're not 36 hours behind.
No. Like I roast once or maybe twice a week.
Okay, so you'll roast like a whole pound worth.
Yeah. Because the coffee's good after roasting. It's good for like 2 weeks.
Okay,
that's according to like the purists.
Right.
After 2 weeks, it starts to go stale.
And what do you keep it?
One of those like glass jars with the rubber lined lids that kind of clamp on. I'm trying to describe. That's that kind of thing. But the coffee usually is in my cupboard for six days or less.
Because I've recently been looking at getting one of those. It's not like a vacuum seal jar, but it's similar, where it's got like a plug that goes inside the jar, and you push it down to the level of the coffee beans. So it basically pushes out any extra air that's in there other than just what's
to the top of where the coffee is. And so if you've got a 64-ounce canister and you've only got 32 ounces worth of beans, you don't have – half of it isn't just air when you seal the lid. You push it all the way down.
Nice.
Right. That's so, really cool.
So air ruins the coffee, does it?
Yep.
Having the air get to it, right.
And the light, you want to keep it somewhere dark. Dark and dry and cool and air-free.
Mm.
We all know them places.
Right. That's where I keep my kilos, man.
That's where my wife sends me when she's mad at me.
Go to the coffee, Patrick.
Go to the negative zone, Pat.
So I wanted to ask you guys about something. And I think I mentioned it the last episode glancingly, but
that was like months ago. I don't even remember.
Dude, I know.
I was dead then.
Are you guys familiar with the Clover?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so for our listeners and those who are not, the Clover is a espresso machine and coffee machine that when they were first developed, they cost like $25,000. I mean, they're ridiculously expensive, but they are made and specifically designed to brew the very best possible cup based upon the bean. And they are web connected.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You what? So, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would...
Well, because... They
email you when your coffee's ready.
That's right. But the other thing they do is they are connected to a database of recipes. They're specific for the machine and specific to the bean. So let's say that you get a bean from this specific South American grower. It knows exactly how to grind that bean. You know, you just punch in that's the bean that you have, and the machine knows specifically how to grind that bean, what temperature to brew that bean at for exactly the perfect flavor quality and for exactly how long. In other words, it's designed to make the perfect cup of coffee individualized to each and every bean.
That's intense.
Yeah, that is more than most people would ever need, I would assume.
So the story goes, and Wired did a piece on this machine maybe 2 years back now. Howard Schultz, president of Starbucks, finds himself in not a Starbucks. Okay? And he walks up to the counter and says, brew me the best cup of coffee you have. Just so happened that the place he walked into was the coffee shop of the two guys who developed the Clover. And, they had a Clover. And so they just choose the best bean they happen to have, not knowing it was Howard Schultz, not knowing this guy from any other customer, brewed a cup, handed it to him. He gets to his table, he sits down, he has a sip, and his mind is blown. And he walks back up and he says, "This is the best cup of coffee I've ever had in my life. How did you guys do this?" And, they say, we got this company and we're making these machines and we're real coffee snobs and we came up with this concept and this, that, and the other. And Howard Schultz makes him a deal on the spot and basically buys the company right then and there. So Howard Schultz is convinced that this is the future of Starbucks, that this will revolutionize the coffee, industry and change the way that Starbucks does coffee. And they are currently slowly but surely rolling these out to all of their stores.
Wow.
It's a little bit of a touchy subject.
Yeah.
Why?
I think part of it is, I got a lot. There's a lot of local coffee shops here in Kansas City that used to have the Clover,
right.
And now that Starbucks owns them, they don't supply parts to it anymore, etc. So some of these local coffee shops had to, it's a $30,000-$40,000 investment to get this thing.
Yeah.
Your thing, yeah. And then now they can't keep it maintained anymore. But also, I think the reason that Starbucks is excited about it does make a really good cup of coffee. I don't know that I don't know that it's guaranteed the best cup of coffee all the time ever in your life. It's only ever downhill from there. But I think what Starbucks is interested in with these Clovers is that it makes a really good cup of coffee mindlessly. And no offense, I have friends that work at Starbucks, but the quality of baristas at Starbucks is probably lower than your average high quality local coffee shop. Like, there's a place out here where you have to train for 2 years before they let you be a barista. And it's this place called Broadway Coffee. They're actually the first coffee shop in America to put a Starbucks out of business that moved in next door to them.
Wow.
And so the coffee there is fantastic, and the level of craftsmanship for the baristas making a cup of coffee, whether it be the pour over or whatever, the espresso, French press, whatever they make you, is going to be really, really great. Whereas with Starbucks, if they have the Clover, you're pretty much guaranteed you can have a 17-year-old working there who's doing it as a summer job, and they can use the Clover to make a really good cup of coffee.
Well, and not only that, but also they can charge $3 for a 60-cent cup of coffee. I mean, that's the other thing about the
Clover. Well, on a $40,000 machine.
understandably, they're making that investment back, but I guess that's one of the reasons why Howard Schultz bought the company, right? So yeah, he doesn't have to make that investment, right?
Totally.
And that he could still get away by charging the same price for a, double mocha half calf skim latte as, he could get away charging those prices for a single 6 ounce cup of coffee.
How'd you know Brett's drink?
I was gonna ask the same thing, dude. You following me?
So
twist of lemon. Don't forget the twist of lemon. Go ahead.
There's a coffee shop, a really great coffee shop, like I said, close by to me, Copland's, and they have a Clover. And it's a similar sort of experience to what you talked about with the one that put Starbucks out of business, whereby he's got three baristas, and he's one of them, the Copland, the owner. Right. And you go into the coffee shop and it is likely him behind the machine. He owns the machine. And he can make any great cup of coffee, even not using that machine. But the fact that he has it makes it all that much easier. He too has told me that, getting parts, that sort of thing, is a little bit more difficult. It just so happens that the reason that he has one of these machines is because the guys that invented it and who now work for Starbucks were they're college buddies of his. And so he's, faring a little bit better than a lot of people who bought these machines. It is an issue. But certainly I will say that the couple of times I've gone into a Starbucks and they've had a Clover, recently, this was out at Boston on Boylston Street. The Starbucks is on Boylston in Boston, right across, or basically just kind of a block away, or not even, maybe a half a block away from the Big Apple store there. They've got a Clover. And, I do have to say that cup of coffee was, on par with the one that I have at the place down the street from me. And it is, and the Clover does afford that level of consistent excellence that I think is interesting. I find it's an interesting story.
I didn't know any of it.
Yeah.
So on the last episode, we did not do this part. So, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. Chris, where can people find you online?
ChrisBowler.com.
Anywhere else? You got another podcast that you do?
Createplicity.com, which you'll find a link to on my site.
There you go.
I won't spell it out for you.
Yeah, I hear it's really great.
Are you a fan of the co-host, Sean?
I am. I am indeed.
Mr. Kelly, where can we find you?
You can read my blog at nerdgap.com, and you can look at pictures of my sandwiches at brettkelly.org, and you can follow me on Twitter somewhere. Where you go to one of the sites, you'll find a link. We're not going to say it. Go ahead.
Sean, what sites are you available on and places?
You can find my nerdy web blog at seanblanc.net, and I launched a new site recently called toolsandtoys.net.
Which is single-handedly is making everyone on the internet have to remortgage their homes.
I mean, seriously, Sean, you gotta quit. You gotta stop. Or at least start putting up some affordable, cheap stuff. You know,
what's your freaking problem, dude? Seriously.
You know, I'm thinking about starting a membership subscription to the site where you get a special link that would take you to a blank page with no items on it.
I think people would stop paying for that.
And then I could charge a monthly fee if that's, you know, because it's self-control sold separately.
It sounds cheaper. Like a protection racket now.
Right. No, it's a fun site. Actually, you know, I got to say, like, it's nice having a website that's not named after myself.
It's lovely pictures. And I cut you off. Where can we find you on Twitter?
I'm not on Twitter. I'm on Facebook.
Oh, okay. How do people find you on Facebook?
Facebook.com/bigliar.
I'm on Twitter as Sean Blanc.
It's fantastic. Pat, once again, sign us off.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, this has been really great, guys. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge. And it's just been a whole heap of fun. And I hope the listeners out there really understand the joy that translates through. You guys are all friends, and we have a lot of fun together. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Happy and shopping. With
that, yeah.
Hey, where do I send the invoice again?
Send that straight to Sean. He'll take care of that.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, Mike, I guess we'll talk later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.
But goodbye.